foot of our street. And I'd practice and practice and practice, and then my father would, you know, wait in the car. And then he'd drive me home. And so finally, when I thought I was good enough, I said, yes, I'd go skiing, and she didn't hardly know how. So I thought, I can do one thing better than she can. And I just, then after that, at 12 years old, skiing became my life. We had a place in Syracuse called Drumlin's that you belonged to. You know, you paid a membership. And you could ski and skate free. So, you know, you'd hitchhike out to there. You could hitchhike in my day. You could hitchhike. You could get out and ask for a ride. Girls don't do that today.
Wasn't considered dangerous then?
I never thought of it as dangerous. We'd go out to Snook's Pond, which was quite a few miles from where I lived. And my friend and I'd go out and then get up on Genesee Street, which was probably a mile walk. And that's a highway. We'd just hitchhike and get as near as we could to Snook's Pond. And then go swimming and then hitchhike home. When I was in college, we went skiing at Tuckerman's Ravine at Easter time, and I was going to go to my brother's. He went to Yale. And I was going up to New Haven. My mother and father were going there with my aunt, and I'm going to meet them in New Haven. Never thinking New Hampshire and New Haven. I mean, those states are different states. So my parents just assumed I'd be able to figure it out. So we got down from the mountain, my girlfriend and I, part of the ski team. And we hitched a ride, and then, you know. So we hitchhiked, we'd see where people were going, and they came down the mountain if they could take the two of us. Of course, it wasn't that hard, because you don't realize how nice looking you are when you're, you know, 20-something. I mean, everybody wants to give you a ride. So, so we never had any problem finding rides. But today, I mean, and, you know, nothing traumatic ever happened. Today you couldn't do that. I don't think. And we lived a good mile before you could get a bus line to go downtown Syracuse. So you'd walk a mile and then get on the bus and go downtown, go to the movies. I mean, nobody kept track of you. And I never kept track of my kids. I mean, they'd tell you where they were going and you'd assume, right or wrong, you know what that does, of course. And so I don't know. But as I tell all these people, your kids will turn out fine.
What was it like for you after they had all grown up and left home?
Well, we kept thinking that, I say they'd all grown up, but the way our family, you know, we had those 4 and 5 years, then 4 years we had another's. Now you're home again, 4 years we had another. Well, now I had my child at 40, 41. So I gave it much thought when he left, because he left, what was I, 45 or 6? I mean, I never noticed the empty nest, because now the grandchildren, my older children are having children and getting married, because there's 17 years between my oldest and my youngest. So I guess, I don't know, living alone is, you know, can be very lonely, but I try and stay, you know, very active. But,
so what kind of things do you do now?
I play a lot of bridge. I'm a very good bridge player. We can put that right there. So I play lots of bridge, and I started a bridge group 46, 47 years ago of 12 women, and it's turned into the fantastic lunch. Everybody's responsible for one time, so we go. So, and that's lasted 40-some years, only because I decided to be a monarch. Because you could never get, if somebody dropped out of the group, you could never get 10 women won't agree with who you put in. I tried that. They'd always have something to say, so I just tell them who the next member's going to be, and they don't seem to mind. So it's lasted that long. Most groups don't last 40-some years. In fact, it just went yesterday. I had an excellent lunch and bridge. And then I play in two duplicate bridge groups. Nobody can be important. They'll leave a message. And other than that, I go to the gym. I belong to the Fox Care. And I go there on Tuesday and Thursday when I'm not playing bridge. And I think the other reason why bridge groups last, that we didn't play in the summer or winter. We started the end of September, and then we don't play in January, February, March, and then we don't play in June. So we get 12 times in, where, you know, so you have a lot of free time. So, and then, what else do I do? I don't do a lot else.
Well, you collect things, don't
you?
Oh,
I'm awful. My kids keep saying I got to do something. I said, well, just don't open a drawer and empty it, because I'm going to be up there. You know? I'm going to drop something on your head. I do collect things. People think I'm nuts. I should belong to, my daughter-in-law said, I should belong to Hallmark Rehab, because I've been collecting Hallmark ornaments for the Christmas tree. And I have I don't do it anymore because I'm too lazy. But I always had a fantastic, fantastic Christmas tree. Huge and just full of all these. I only collect mostly the Hallmark ornaments that do things that, you know, make music. In fact, in my house at Christmas, there's hardly a spot that wasn't covered with Christmas ornaments.
So Christmas is a big deal in your family?
It wasn't growing up. I don't know. I can remember Christmas Eve. My mother and father would go next door, and I'd put the tree up by myself. This is when I was, you know, older and living at home. If we wanted a tree, my father would just get a tree and set it up, and then I'd trim it. So Christmas was never that big. And then when I started collecting the ornaments, and then it was a huge tree. But I was always kind of into ornaments, because I can remember, couldn't wait to get down to Lord and Taylor's and Saks and see their Christmas and get some ornaments. But then I got collecting Hallmark. And then I collect my marionettes. Pretty much they all do something. And I collect my tops. And my windowsill has a lot of things. In fact, this past time when my kids came up from Long Island, their kids played with the stuff on here, you know, the gyroscopes and all. You know, lots. They put the gyroscope and spun it on their head. So, I mean, they had a wonderful time with it, but most of the time they kind of ignore it. I play with them off and on. I'm sitting there. And I can't help myself. I still am buying marionettes, and I still can't get through without spending at least $600 on Hallmark every Christmas. But I tell them it's better than if I collect Hummel figures. It's a one-shot deal, a one-season deal. Yes, I am, I guess, kind of compulsive with collecting things. Then my son said he's going to give me a computer. I said, I don't want a computer. I said, my friends don't have computers, so there's nobody I'm going to, you know, email and all that stuff. So I don't want a computer. So the next year came, and he said, you know, I'm sending you a computer. I said, well, don't send me a computer. I don't want it. He said, well, stick it in the garage. I'm mailing you. I'm sending you a computer. I said, if you do that, I said, be sure and send me a printer. And he said, I can't send you a printer because you'll just inundate me with junk. But he says, yeah, the printer comes with it. So it sat in the garage probably 3, 4, 5 months. So one of my lady friends' husband, she and he came up and set up the thing. And so I started, my other favorite game is backgammon. I probably play backgammon every night for like 30 minutes while I'm watching television. So he sent me, so I started playing backgammon. So I'm trying to talk to the person. So I complained to my daughter. I said, it's ridiculous. They go out to lunch and you don't know where they are and they haven't played. And I talked to them. And have you pressed enter? I never heard of enter. I mean, nobody said that you pressed enter for everything. So then I learned to press enter. So then I went to a garage sale. Never went to a garage sale until I was 70 or more. I wish I'd gone earlier. I could have a lot more junk. So I went to the garage sale, and this kid, it must have been about 12. And his mother, there was a typewriter there. And his mother said, now that's what I used to, you know, use when I went to work. And he's looking. He said, where's enter? Fantastic, right? I mean, he's... And, like, I could never set the clock in my car, and my brother said, well, just stop, ask any teenager. You know, they'll just go in and set it for you. So I usually leave my clock wrong. Somebody wants to set, I don't bother setting it. I'll just, it'll be right the rest of the year. So I have loved my computer. It's crashed twice. But no idea why. So I said, I don't need a phone. I said, what do I need a phone for? So my daughter said, well, you should have a phone because, you know, if you're stuck somewhere in the snow or something, you know, as you're getting older. She didn't say that. But, I mean, you should have a phone. So I said, okay. I said, you know, so she gives me this, you know, gives me a cell phone with the Verizon. And, of course, I don't get any service here. I'm very good. So my son Bill came up, and he got good service with his, I don't know, iPad or whatever he had. So he gives me the iPhone 5. Now, I'm here with this iPhone 5. People out there are dying for it. I don't do anything on it except play backgammon. You know, nobody calls me on it because I don't have it on. They get disturbed. So, I have texting. So I got laughing so hard because my son Bill, he's the one that, you know, gave me the phone. He pays the thing. So I texted him, long text. He said, I never received such a long text in my life. I said, okay. So then they had a comic. I cut it out in the funny papers. And the kid said he got a text from his father, and he said, what did he say? He's just old. He doesn't know what texting is, because he sent him this long text about coming to dinner and everything. So I sent that to my son. And but I don't get reception here. It used to be on dial-up, which was awful. And then, I got an aerial and everything, but I don't get good reception with mine. Because I want to talk to the lady. I want to talk to Sister and Sirius or...
Siri.
I want to talk to her so bad. And if I want to talk to her, I have to go out to the mall. So if I go to the movie sometimes, I'll, you know, sit there on the bench and talk to her and ask her things. But I don't get reception. That's the only thing I don't like about where I live, is I don't get, you know, good reception. I probably never will.
What kind of things do you ask Siri?
Oh, you're supposed to ask her, will you marry me? You ask her funny things, too, and she gives you funny answers. But, I asked her how the movie was, what she knew about the movie I just seen. And so she's kind of fun to talk to. If it really worked, I'd be on it more than just games.
Is it hard for you to transition to use technology?
Yeah, because I don't know the ins and outs. I mean, I'd have to ask the 6 or 7 year old or 8 year old. I mean, my grandchildren, they're so old, so into texting. I remember one texting at the table last Christmas, and her mother getting mad at her, you know, don't text at the table, you know. Wait till you get up. But I think it's taken over their lives, you know, the younger people. And then mothers. I saw a kid that when I was down in Florida, I go to Florida about 3 weeks, and he was on his little skateboard, I guess. He couldn't have been maybe 10 or 11. And then he gets up and, you know, talks on his cell phone. And I'm thinking, probably telling his mother, I reached here. So I just think, I don't know, I don't think that parents need to be that. Kids have to be that, taken over. I like the freedom where they could go And I can see why you don't want your kid crossing streets and walking home from school. They don't let kids walk home from school. Our kids walked to and from school in Oneonta. My son lived here in Oneonta. Made sure that, you know, somebody met her and picked her up every day after school. I mean, it's amazing. I never gave it two thoughts. Not giving my kids all the freedom and myself. And I never had a curfew growing up. People have a curfew either home by such and such a time. And I remember our car broke down. I was probably about 17, 18, was in high school. We were in Auburn. And not one of those parents, none of those kids I was with, dared call their parents because they knew they were going to be home late and they were so worried. And I just called my father. It's about 30 miles away. I called my father. I said, "We're stuck in Auburn and nobody dares call anybody. Can you come pick us up and drop the other kids off?" And he did. But I mean, I don't like curfews because it puts too much pressure on the person. Oh, I'm not going to make it. Oh. So I used to just see what the latest curfew they had when they were talking about it in the car, and I just joined that one. Because I didn't want to say I didn't have a curfew, because then all these kids would think my parents didn't care. But they cared, and I never had curfew for my kids. And they'll come home reasonably. I mean, I don't think people need that pressure. My kids had a lot of freedom, and they could come and go when they wanted to, and didn't have any curfew or...
Do you think there was a sense of safety then in your community that you didn't worry about them?
I guess so. I never gave safety a thought. I think whatever community I was in, I would think it was safe if I were in Syracuse. Well, now, as I said before, if I had to live on the fringes, I think my upbringing would be different and my kids. But I never, you know, gave any of that a thought. I never thought of them. People out there. I'm sure all those things were going on. And it's just that now it's more publicized. But we never had the freaky uncle that came and molested you. I mean, I didn't have any extended family because we only had my sister and brother. So our kids didn't have any. You know. So I never had any to deal with. You know, we didn't have eight kids and have some one of them be screwy or whatever. That's play on words. No. So, no, I mean, just, as I said, I don't have any real exciting. But I do think people don't give their kids enough freedom today. No, there was, my son was saying, he's in Long Island, he said if he lived across the street from the school, they'd probably make the kids take a school bus because they couldn't cross the street. But, and I, school buses, we never had school buses. As I say, I walked a couple miles to school, never thought of a school bus. Everybody walked to school. Miles, I wasn't the only one. I walked many miles to college. Long miles to high school and long miles to elementary school. And my father would give us a ride, and it'd be winter, and he could get to the school by going flat, you know, without having hit this horrible hill, East Street, coming into Genesee Street. But no, he always had to see if he could make that hill, and of course, then he couldn't, and he'd always be late for school. So you just assumed he didn't drive you. And then when I got my license to drive, my father worked in the State Tower building downtown, and he called for a ride, and he said, "You coming, your mother?" And I was coming. He'd come out of the mother. She might never get there for late. So, but once I got my license, I never drove my father ever again. I'd pick him up, and I'd move over, and he'd drive. And same with my mother until she got older, then I drove. My father died younger. But they always, once I got my license, I never got to drive them again. So, and then when I got my license, my father asked if he could ride with us. And so the guy that was doing the license said, "Do you care if your father?" I said, "I don't care." So I said to him after it, why did you want to go with me? He said, because your sister hasn't got her license yet. He said, I thought maybe I could help her to see what they did. So my sister didn't, I was supposed to wait till my sister got her license, because she's 2 years older, but she didn't get her license until after she got married. And she was teaching school, and she'd have to get on the bus to get out to Salve. And then she decided to get her license. So,
did everyone want to get their license?
I did, but obviously she didn't. My son, we had to make him get his license, because my husband got him a job with the telephone company one summer. And he says, they'll never let you behind the wheel of the truck or anything, ever. But you can't have the job unless you got a license. So then he went and finally got his license. But we lived right in the middle of town, I mean, right in the heart of Oneonta, so nobody really needed a car. So my kids weren't that anxious. They didn't care. I was gung-ho. I just wanted mine so bad. And I go pick up my girlfriend, and her father said, please, I pick her up after. I have like an hour after dinner, and so I take the car and drive over there, and we go joyriding. And he said, please, don't come over. I don't want you to come. You know, I don't want you taking her for a ride. Don't come. And I thought, oh, yeah, okay. And I come every night anyway. So, yeah, I just wanted to my license, but nobody else in my family, nobody cared. It came 16th birthday, it's okay. But we never let the kids get their license until they finished driver ed at school. We never let them. So they couldn't, when they turned 16, until they'd taken driver ed, because they gave you a discount on your insurance, and we thought it was good training. We teach them, too. But they all knew that they had to finish driver ed in school before they could get the license, so there was just kind of a given. So.
Okay, we're about coming up on time here. Was there anything else that you would like to share?
Well, I think interesting things like movies were so cheap. And they used to have serials and movies that you couldn't wait to go to the next Saturday to see what happened to poor Pauline. And they always had two movies. You had your own movie, then you usually have a B movie. So today, you know, you have one extra long one. And they used to have penny candy, and of course that's not anything they have now. And gas used to be so reasonable. You used to get 3 gallons for a dollar. And you think about all that, and everybody always says, well, money's improved in value. You know, so it all equals out. But I don't really think it does equal out. And oh, when I used the radio, I can remember listening to Ma Perkins middle of the night, or Mr. Anthony, that you'd tell your problems to. And, you know, he'd be on about 10. I thought we'd listen to him in bed. So radio was a big thing. Then I remember you'd go to the beach, you'd bring your radio with the batteries. Life has changed, so I don't think cars are as, you know, I think the big cars are roomy, but I think those big old roomy cars were much more comfortable. Seats are much better. And what else? I guess the freedom, as I've stressed, was better. But I will master some of these electronics. I can't even visualize the future with the, you know, the internet. You know, things happen immediately. They have a video of it. And, you can't even trust your friends at a party. You're going to be on Facebook the next day because they took a video of you. And then I don't like the idea of Facebook because I understand that when you apply for a job after you get out of college, they go, you know, or get into college, they check your Facebook. I mean, your Facebook has now become your life and whatever you posted on it. And you say, well, so nobody can get into this part. Well, those people can get into anything they want. You just think they can't get in and see these things you don't want them to see. So I do think it's too much intrusion in your life today.
Okay, well, thank you very much.